Blog Talk Radio. You're listening live to WRNW. Women's Radio Network.
Question, tell me how you feel about this.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us here for another episode of Open Forum on the Women's Radio Network. I am your host, Bridget Grayson, and as always, it is truly a pleasure to be here with you guys today because I have some amazing, special people coming through on the show to speak with me today so you guys get to hear all about them and what they do and the great things that they have going on. So my first guest, I'm very happy to have her here with us today. Her name is Jill Wolf, and she is the owner of Wolf Financial SVC Inc., and that's in Woodstock, Georgia. So without any further ado, guys, I want to welcome her to our show today. Good afternoon, Jill. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Bridget.
Oh, thank you. Jill, thank you so much for being here with us today. It truly is our pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. I'm glad to hear that. So, Jill, as I mentioned, you're the owner over there at Wolf Financial SVC Inc. So tell our listeners a little bit about that. What do you offer there?
Oh, the company offers bookkeeping and accounting services. We also have personal financial planning. And our specialty is tax services, and that incorporates a full range of services from preparation of all returns and consultations. I work with the IRS and other state authorities, and I'm there always for the problems.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. So definitely a lot of different stuff that you guys have going on there. So now, Jill, these services that you guys offer, who is your main clientele? Or are they businesses that you provide these services for, individuals, or kind of both?
It's both, because we do a full range from companies to estates to individuals. I would say individuals happen to be our largest group. And corporations, companies are our next largest group.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So, Jill, how did you get started in this type of work to begin with? Was there something that motivated you in particular to get involved in finances?
Well, like many people, it was something personal that happened in my life. It was when my father passed away many, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. But when he passed away, we were living in New York, and 70% of his estate went to taxes of some kind, whether it was income tax or estate taxes.
Wow.
The rates are not as high as they were in those days, but careful planning avoids the problems that my family faced after that.
Oh, wow. That is crazy. 70% of that's such a high number. And, you know, it's a great thing, though, that you took the situation and experience that you went through yourself, and you kind of use it to feel your motivation to help other people to prevent them from going through the same thing. So, Jill, what are some ways that you go about doing that, especially, you know, as financial planning is concerned? How do you help these people really plan for the future in that sense?
Okay, well, I'm a personal financial planner. I always refer out anything that has to be specific, like investment planning or insurance planning, for products, because I don't deal with products. But since I had the financial planning on the certified financial planning side, as well as my enrolled agent side, which is a U.S. Treasury designation, I tend to work on a holistic situation with clients. I try, whatever service I'm providing, I try to make them think of what their needs are and what is best for them overall without worrying just about taxes or just about dollars out. They need to be thinking of the future as well, you know, future consequences as well as the current one. And it works very well. It means I have a smaller practice, but I have a very hands-on practice.
And that probably makes a big difference and probably sets you apart from a lot of other people that are out there in the same field that is very hands-on. So you kind of get to probably connect with your clients on a much more intimate level than maybe some other people can.
That's true. And the biggest thing I get is I get questions and I get people coming to me with concerns before a mistake is made. And that is always a good thing.
Yes, definitely. But before the mistake is made, it's always easier to prevent something from happening than trying to correct it after it's already happened.
That's right.
Oh, awesome. So, Jill, is there any part of this job that you would say is maybe the most challenging for you?
I particularly like the consulting side or using pieces of it to help people. I like solving the problems, and it's not always just audits, but I have had some people who have had some problems with Social Security, just getting started or getting in line. I like doing the things that are practical and need being addressed now in order to cure their future. I like that. The preparation's fine. I do enjoy that of taxes or doing it, but that's paperwork. And I prefer the consultation much more than I have very nice staff here that can keep up with the daily routine. So that allows me more time.
Oh, great. And it's great to hear that you're someone who likes a challenge and can face those challenges head on when they come your way, which is a wonderful thing. And I'm sure your clients probably admire that so much about you. So, Jill, you know, what is the next step that you see for yourself going forward in the near future? Do you have any plans?
No. I mean, every company likes to expand or to increase their clientele. Which I am, but I don't have anything beyond going in the direction I've been working towards. I'm not adding any other services. Again, I like to be able to work with clients on a year-round basis if I can.
Gotcha. So still pretty much doing the same thing that you're doing, obviously just adding more clientele, but still just doing the great work that you do in the same field and in the same sense that you've already been doing.
Right, that's true.
Oh, awesome. Well, great stuff, Jill. You definitely know your stuff, and you do great work with really helping these people and preparing them. So thank you so much for just being a part of our show today and sharing all of that with our listeners. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on.
Oh, you're welcome. So before I let you go, I just want to remind everyone that I'm speaking with Ms. Jill Wolf. She is the owner of Wolf Financial SVC, Inc., and that's in Woodstock, Georgia. So, guys, I encourage you all to reach out there, especially if you're in the area. I know we have a lot of listeners from Georgia that tune in. So, guys, definitely check her out. Visit, well, not visit, but email her. Her email address is admin@wolffinancialsvc.com. So that's admin@wolffinancialsvc.com. So admin@wolffinancialsvc.com. So check it out, guys. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So stay tuned for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now listening WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock. Only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. Guys, you know, I am your host, Bridget Grayson, and thank you all for tuning in once again to hear some more special guests come through and talk to us. So my next guest, I'm very excited and happy to have her here with us today because she's in the field of floral design, which is a great thing, and it's very unique. You have to have a very detail-oriented eye and really know your stuff when it comes to this. So this next person, she definitely does that. Her name is Meredith Fleming. Her name is Meredith Fleming, and she is the co-owner at Posh Petals Unique Flowers and Gifts, and that's in Indianapolis, Indiana. So without any further ado, guys, let's welcome her to the show today. Good afternoon, Meredith. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, of course. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. We are happy to have you here, and we want to hear all about yourself, Meredith, and what you have going on there at Posh Petals. So tell us a little bit about that. What do you guys offer there?
Well, Posh Petals provides fresh flowers for any occasion or event. We specialize in weddings and sympathy, everyday arrangements, holidays, Mother's Day. We are locally owned, women operated, and I have 10 employees. We've been open now for 11 years. We just celebrated our 11th year on July 1st.
Wow, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So that's great. So you guys pretty much do all these different events, as you said, from weddings to, I'm assuming, anniversaries or pretty much anything that people would want or need flowers for?
Sure. If you would like to come in to the storefront and buy one stem of Gerber Daisy, we can sell that to you. If you have a large 80s centerpiece event gala that you need us to do, we can handle that. We do 3 or 4 weddings per weekend during the wedding season, so it gets pretty crazy here in the summer on the weekends. And so yes, if you're going to prom and need a corsage, we also do that.
Oh, awesome. So, Meredith, do you do the designing and stuff, especially when it comes to weddings and the events? Are you the one who does that, or do you have a team of people that works with you to do that?
We have a team to make all the magic happen. Erica, my business partner, and I do a lot of the designing. We have 2 other designers on staff, delivery drivers, and then floral assistants. Mm-hmm. So we are hands-on, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But
awesome.
We both bring, you know, our strengths to the table. I like to talk to the client, and Erica likes to order the flowers and staff everybody, production. I'm front of the house, she's back of the house, how she likes to say it. So.
Gotcha. So you guys kind of balance each other out in that sense, which is a good thing to hear, though. So, you know, Meredith, when you're talking to these clients and getting to know what they want, how does that process work, and how important does your creativity and your teams come into play when you're kind of designing these floral arrangements?
Well, it's a delicate dance. So the client will tell you about their event or party or whatever they may be having, and they usually will know what colors they want to work with. Mm-hmm. And Pinterest has been a big help in our industry, so that we can, you know, it's hard to talk visually, So they're able to bring pictures, and then we can understand what they're saying and wanting through the pictures. I can read them florally better. And so we just talk about the event, what flowers are going to be in season, and how many they're going to need, and then I draw up a budget, a quote for them, and they say, ooh, we're over budget or we're under budget. Usually they always say we're over budget. But
That is just a great thing that you include that in the process as well, outlining that budget for them, which is something that I feel is very important, especially, you know, when you're planning an event, especially a wedding, a party, anything like that, having that, you know, budget, especially for the floral arrangements, can be a big help. So it's great that you guys offer that. And, you know, Maris, I can tell that you really do know your stuff when it comes to all of this. So how did this all start for you? What was maybe the inspiration for you behind getting into this type of work to begin with?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't even know there was a job in a flower shop. I would never thought to think of a flower shop, you know. But I needed a part-time job during college, and so I walked down to the local flower shop and asked, you know, can I have a job in here part-time? And they said, sure. You have to pick up our trash and put a fresh cut on the flowers and sweep everything up. And I said, okay,
fine. All
the
fun stuff.
Exactly. And so I did that, and it's just kind of hard labor work that you fall in love with for some reason. It's definitely a passion. And then I just kind of made my way up to be a designer and finally graduated from college and said, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. And so I asked myself, well, what do you know how to do? And I said, well, to myself, I know how to work in a flower shop. So then I approached my business partner, who I met at the old flower shop, and we opened up a business in 6 months from conception to opening our doors.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. That seems like a pretty quick amount of time to open up a business. How did you guys do that so efficiently?
I don't know. We didn't even know what we were doing. You don't know what you're doing until you just do it. No, there is a program, I'm sure in almost every city, that it's called SCORE, and it's free business advice from retired business people that tell you how to open up a small business, in our case, in Indianapolis. So,
gotcha. So that probably played a big part in it as well. Having that advice from those people probably helped you out so much.
It did. I mean, Eric and I knew everything that we needed to know to run a flower shop, but they taught us, oh, go write a business plan. Now you need to go find a place to rent. Then you need to go to the banks and get money. And now you have to open up, and then you open up, and nobody walks in your door because no one really knows you're there. But, I mean, I'm making it sound simple. It is a lot more hard work than that, however. That's pretty much how you do it, the plan, kind of.
Gotcha. So, Meredith, now that you are one of those people who you have your own business, you guys are doing great stuff, you're successful. For those listeners out there who were maybe in your shoes maybe a few years ago when you guys first started and didn't really know where to go, where to start, what would be some advice or words of encouragement that you can offer them that they can take away from our conversation today?
Well, if you want to work for yourself and be your own boss, I would say you have to jump in with both feet. You kind of have to be a risk taker. So if you're not really a risk taker, it might not be the avenue for you. But if you are, then I would jump in as much as you can without, you know, if you have another job or can't do it all at one time, but go ask anybody you know that owns a business, how did you get started? Research everything. I would also work in your industry for at least 2 years. Know the ins and outs. Meet vendors and create relationships. So then when you're ready to break off on your own, you already have the experience under your feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Very well said, Meredith. Having that experience, and also, as you mentioned, and getting some of that networking with people done is a very important thing, and it will make it a little bit easier. So thank you so much for just being here today. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, Meredith.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. Guys, I want to remind you that I'm speaking with the amazing Ms. Meredith Fleming. She's the co-owner over there at Posh Petals Unique Flowers and Gifts in Indianapolis, Indiana. So, guys, check them out. Find out more information. A lot of people love their work. I checked out their website. You can see some of the beautiful stuff they have on there. So just go to the website, which is www.poshpetals.org, and that's petals with an S at the end. So posh, P-O-S-H, petals.org. So check it out, guys. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with our next guest. So keep it locked for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life.
On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. Now, you guys know I am your host, Bridget Grayson, and it is my pleasure to be here with you guys today and just bring you amazing guests and people from all across the globe just doing some great things in their field. So my next guest is no different. His name is Richard Muse, and he is a partner at Deal Finders, and that's in Murrysville, Pennsylvania. So we definitely are excited to have him here with us today, because who doesn't like a good deal? And especially someone who can help you find a good deal, well, that is someone we really want to talk to. So without any further ado, I want to welcome him to our show today. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Good afternoon to you.
Oh, thank you. Richard, thank you so much for being here with us today. It truly is our pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to hear that. So, Richard, as I just mentioned, you're a partner over there at Deal Finders. So tell us a little bit about that. What is Deal Finders all about, and what do you guys do there?
Well, actually, back in 1997, my wife and I decided that people needed help finding cars, and with the whole automobile process, I actually have been in the car business since I've been 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, so I'm actually 62 now, so that's a few years. So what I've been doing is I got out of the business for a short period of time, and people started calling me and say, hey, who am I supposed to talk to now? So I said, go here and take your trade over to there and don't go to that guy. And so I kind of orchestrated the business and decided that there might be a need for this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So it seems like there is a truly a need for this. So when you're helping these people, what are they usually, asking you for assistance with? Is it kind of to find a car or to find a deal, since you guys are deal finders?
Yeah, well, a lot of times they're just confused as to what they should be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we start, with what their needs are, and they kind of refine it and recommend certain models.
Mm-hmm.
And other times people know what they want, and then it's just a matter of finding the right car at the right price, which is kind of what we kind of specialize in.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And that's very important, because as you said, it can be difficult and challenging, especially for people who don't know that much about the automotive industry. I'm thinking back to my first time buying a car. It was probably one of the hardest things I've done, just to find a good deal, right place, and a good car as well. That can be very, very tricky. But it's great that you're out there and you're offering your services to really help these people, Rich. So I know that you said you've been in this for a while. You've been into cars since you were 19. Was there something that really sparked that interest in automotives for you?
Actually, I'm not really interested in cars. I kind of got into it because I needed to make some money, and I actually had three kids by the time I was 20. So I needed to make some money, and the car business kind of suited me. And so I got in it and started selling from 19 years old, and just got to know the business inside and out. And can't say that cars are a big motivating factor for me, but I've done it all my life. So it's a big part of my life, but I don't really have any crazy desires to drive the certain cars that people do have.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, well, it definitely has been a part of your life for a while, but you know, I can tell that you really, really do know your stuff when it comes to this. So is there any part of this job for you, Richard, that maybe is a little bit challenging, even for someone who's so experienced such as yourself?
Well, what I try to compare it to is if you could have a butcher buy your meat for you, you'd generally get the best cuts of meat. So, I mean, that's kind of what I do in the car business. People buy a car maybe once every 2, 3, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do this all the time, and we know all the games that are played. We know what your trade is worth. And so we know the entire process, and we try to make it as comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we want to save you money every step of the way. We help you negotiate the finance rates. We help negotiate the trade-in, and we advise you throughout the process. You make all the decisions. The customer makes all the decisions, but we advise you along the way.
Mm-hmm. So you're just there at that backup, that extra support to really help them when it comes to advising, as you said, and negotiating as well.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up a story. My wife tells a story about before she was with me. Sometimes it's difficult for a woman to get waited on. And I know you have the Women's Network, which is perfect, but I don't know why the stigmatism is still there. But my wife tells a story about in 1996, she went to buy a car, and I know that's a long time ago, but nobody wanted to talk to her. She was with her mother and, you know, kind of asking where her dad was, and kind of asking, you know, if there's anybody going to help her with this decision. But my wife's a pretty independent woman, and she found it difficult at the time. So we certainly eliminate those kind of problems too, yeah.
Well, that is a great thing to hear that you guys help eliminate that also, because that is an issue that is, you know, common within women. I've heard some people say that to me as well, Richard. And, you know, I think it's just kind of that goes back to that stereotype of how women aren't really, they don't really know a lot about cars, they're not educated when it comes to cars or vehicles, which, as we all know, is definitely not true. There are a lot of women out there. I've even spoken to a couple women on this show who are, you know, have their own mechanic shops and are in the automotive field, and even for them that are in this field and working in it, it's hard for them to break down that barrier, because even when customers come in, they kind of ask for a male or think that a female doesn't really know what she's talking about when it comes to cars. So, you know, it's sad to see that that's still there, but, you know, it is a great thing that you guys are there and helping with situations like that also.
I learned early on that all purchases are influenced 80% of the time by women. So, you know, you may think you're talking to the decision maker if you're talking to the husband or if you're talking to the father, but believe me, 80% of all transactions are influenced by women. I learned that early on, and when I was selling, I kind of catered my sales pitch to them, and they're the ones you really have to convince or win over or show the value, I should say.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You are a smart man for that, Richard. You can recognize who the boss is and who makes the decisions.
I learned that at 19.
Well, great stuff, Rich. What do you see as maybe the next step for you guys going forward?
Well, you know, it's comfortable for us. I can't say that I'm looking to make $1 zillion, but, you know, we charge $99 for our service. If you buy a car, and it's comfortable for us, we also, the dealer pays us what's considered, I guess, a salesperson's commission. We deal with either the General Motors, or I'm sorry, the General Manager or the Sales Manager or the owner sometimes, and we have a nice clientele. Some people we've sold over 17, 18 cars to. We do not advertise. I guess this is a form of advertising, but we really haven't done anything like this. And we have our own customers that call us for cars whenever they're in the market or for their family. And it's just a comfortable business that we're happy doing. And I don't know where we're going, but I'm getting close to retirement. So my wife's going to have to pick up the ball.
Oh, okay. Well, awesome. And, you know, and it's great to hear that you guys don't really do any advertising, which means that your work kind of speaks for itself, because that means most of your clients, you have them, and it's through word of mouth, and they refer you to other people, which is a great thing. And you guys definitely don't seem like the people that need to do any advertising, because you do such great work already. And, you know, as I said before, your work speaks for yourself, for itself. So, Richard, thank you so much for just being here with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the show and hearing about all that you guys have going on.
Well, thank you very much. And if you would go to dealfinders1.com and check our testimonials, you'll see that they're the finest in the business, and I appreciate you calling me. And actually, you found me, which is great. So we appreciate the interest.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, we appreciate you guys agreeing to come on the show. So before I let you go, guys, I want to remind you all that I'm speaking with Mr. Richard Muse. He is a partner at Deal Finders in Murraysville, Pennsylvania. So, guys, check them out. Visit the website. Like Richard said, it's www.dealfinders1.com, and that's the number one at the end. So dealfinders1.com. So check it out, guys, all right? So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So stick around for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now listening live to WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock. Only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. I am your host, Bridget Grayson. And guys, you know, here at Women's Radio Network, what we love to do is just bring you professionals from all across the globe just doing amazing and great things in their field. So my next guest is no different, and I'm very happy to have her here with us today. Her name is Nicole Cotton, and she is the owner of the Cotton Law Firm, and that's in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So without any further ado, guys, I want to welcome her to our show. Good afternoon, Nicole. How are you today?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm so glad to be here on the Women's Radio Network. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, of
course. I'm glad to be your audience.
You're welcome, and we're glad to have you here, Nicole. And we know that you're a very busy woman, so thank you for taking the time out of your day to come talk to us. We appreciate it. We definitely want to hear all about yourself and the Cotton Law Firm.
My pleasure.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about that. What do you offer there at the Cotton Law Firm? What kind of services do you offer?
Oh, yes, thank you. The Cotton Law Firm, we're a local law firm here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm a criminal defense attorney primarily. I handle some uncontested divorces, and I help people with their license restorations also. And I do a little bit of civil work when I help people when they need a protective order and they're involved in domestic violence situations. I help people with that. But I'm a local firm here. My initial office, my first office was in Lumberton, North Carolina, and then I branched out with a second office in Fayetteville. But my business grew here, and this is where I live here in Fayetteville. I just wanted to have a really good local presence here. So I have the one law firm open here at 450 West Russell Street here in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, awesome, awesome. So it definitely seems like your business has grown and expanded a lot from the time that you first started, Nicole. So we want to hear more about that also. So tell us a little bit about that and your background, and what was maybe the motivation for you behind getting involved in law to begin with?
Yes, being an attorney and having my own business, this has been a dream deferred. I've been practicing, I believe, 7 years now. I'm a graduate of North Carolina Central University School of Law. I worked full-time while I was in law school financing my legal career as a claims adjuster for Blue Cross Blue Shield. But I'm from South Carolina originally. I had moved to Atlanta. I always had a dream since I was 5 years old of being an attorney. But like I said, it was a dream deferred. When I was in South Carolina, I got my master's degree in business, a BS, in criminal justice. And I went on to get a master's degree in business management while I was working the customer service job for Verizon Wireless. And ultimately, I went on to law school and received my Juris Doctorate degree. And I combined my business degree, my criminal justice degree, along with my law degree, and opened up the Cotton Law Firm in Lumberton. It had just been a passion of mine. I wanted to give back and be a voice and service, be a service in my community. So I'm just living my dream, and this is my passion, and this is just what I've always wanted to do. And I have great joy in helping people. And usually people come to me when they're just in dire need and dire straits, and I'm able to educate them, inform them, and guide them through the legal process. So I take great pride in making sure I'm educated on the law and abreast of the law, and that I have good relations with my community, and I show a big presence here and let people know that I'm approachable. The Cotton Law Firm's approachable, and we're here to be there for them when they need us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is an amazing thing to hear, Nicole, and you should be very proud of the work that you do, and I can tell that you are someone who is passionate, and you do really do love what you do, and that's a rare thing nowadays. A lot of people can't say that about their occupations or the line of work that they're in, so it's great that you're able to say that, and you're also out there making a difference. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I spoke to a lady earlier on the show, and she was involved in law as well. And, you know, she was just telling me that sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, banter, jokes about lawyers, but, you know, people really need to appreciate you guys, because you guys are the people that are out there that are fighting for our rights and really helping us and, you know, helping the people in your community. And there have been so many contributions made by lawyers. So it definitely, we do appreciate you guys, because you guys do really, really great work. And, you know, Nicole, the people that you work with there, you offer a lot of these services, as you were mentioning. So what would you say is maybe the process that you go through or the approach that you take when first working with someone who comes to you and needs your assistance?
Okay, sure. A lot of times people, they come to me from referrals from other people who I've worked with, or like I said, I'm a member of the Junior League here, Women or Association for Women, who we believe in volunteerism and being involved in the community. So people, a lot of times, they see me out in the community, they see me helping the community before they may even see me in my legal capacity. They see me at the South, you know, working with the food banks, or they interact with me, so then they find out, you know, about my profession, or like I said, from referral. So they know I'm about the community when they come in. When they come in to meet me, a lot of times my reputation does precede me. When they come in, I have my paralegals may do a brief intake and then schedule them an appointment to speak with me. Once we, you know, having a face-to-face interaction, a lot of times people come to me and they may. Have a crime that that they've been charged with, so I want to know a lot about them. I want to know about their background, just to personalize them, and so I can understand them better and I can better advocate for them. Whenever I'm dealing with the opposing party, with the prosecutors, I'm able to humanize them. They're just not another number, just not another case. So, and I just try to. People are usually dealing with emotional issues, which when they come to me, they're, you know, they may be frightened or nervous or just mm-hmm. ashamed or different things. So I'm able to relate to them and hear them and find out what they've gone through and maybe what brought them to this place. And then my goal is to help them with the case and be a big, you know, be their biggest advocate. But also that may also involve me getting them connected with the resources that I'm aware of in the community. Sometimes people need to be connected with, they may have anger management issues or you know, alcohol problems and different things like that, or they just may need to get a license back, and so they can be able to drive and become employed and be upstanding citizens. So I'm dealing with all those type of issues that they come with, and so I just connect them with the resources and personalize them. So that's what they find me humanizing them and find out about them, and then we deal with whatever the cases that we have to deal with, and just trying to get the best outcome, you know, for my client. That's typically, you know, what the experience is with my clients that come through.
Oh, I love that, Nicole. The fact that you're so customer service oriented and focus on your clients and what their needs, what their wants are, but also, you know, being there for them if they're a little bit afraid, because a lot of that stuff, especially involving law and legal things, can be a scary thing to go through and a scary process. And what's also great about you is that you not only assist them in all these ways, but you also refer them to other resources that they might need. So that is truly, truly a wonderful thing. So what do you see as maybe the next step for yourself in the near future, Nicole?
I see myself just becoming more established here, having more people in the Fayetteville, Cumberland County area here in North Carolina know that I'm here. I just remember when I first was coming into this market, I'm not from here, and I had an office in another county. When I came here, people, they were just overjoyed. I've even had people just cry just to see me here representing them. They just to have a fresh, you know, face and someone who they can relate to mm-hmm. to be here for them. They wanted to hire me. It was a niche here that needed to be filled, and I just had been embraced by the people here. So I just see myself knowing more people, being more connected with the communities here, having the Cotton Law Firm just established here as that local local law firm for my clients. If I can't help them with the type of, I specialize in my areas of law so that I can be very good at what I do and have, so I focus on that. And if it's something that I don't do, I'm well connected with all the other attorneys here in the areas, and I'm able to give them referrals to where they need to go. So referrals to other attorneys, mm-hmm. referrals to community resources. So I just see myself having longevity here and in Cumberland County and being a great trial attorney. I do handle trials here. I attend continuing legal education courses, and I try my cases, and just to make myself a better litigator, just to let people know I will try their case. I will fight for them here, and I will be the advocate, and just so they can trust that in me and know that I have the skills and I'm prepared, and preparedness is just very important to be mm-hmm. able to deal with it and let them know I'm able to handle whatever the legal matters that we have. So I want to be here. I want to be specialized in the areas that I want to continue in the areas that I focus on, the criminal law and the traffic and, you know, license restoration. So that's just what I intend to be.
Oh, wonderful. And you definitely are someone who knows her stuff. You're trusted. You're well-respected in the community, which is a great thing, Nicole. So thank you so much for just being here with us today, sharing all that great information about yourself and the Cotton Law Firm. I do want to remind our listeners, guys, I'm speaking with Ms. Nicole Cotton. She's the owner of the Cotton Law Firm in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So I encourage you guys to reach out and find out more information. And I know there's a lot of you guys that listen from North Carolina in that area, so definitely check it out. You can visit her website, which is cottonlawfirm.com. So cottonlawfirm.com. You can also email her. Her email address is attorneynicolecotton@gmail.com, and her name is spelled NicholeCotton. So attorneynicolecotton@gmail.com. So check it out, guys. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So keep it locked for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buchner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in for another episode of Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. You guys know I am your host, Bridget Greason, and we've had some amazing, amazing guests stop by today, but I still have some more on the way. And you guys know that I love talking to people that are involved in art because it is such a pleasure to speak with these people who are truly still keeping art alive, which is something that is so very important. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that anymore. So it's always a pleasure to have artists or anyone involved in any type of art on the show. So my next guest is someone who's definitely involved in art, and she does some great stuff. So we're excited to have her here. Her name is Cherie Greek, and she is the owner of Medusa's Emporium, and that's in Pacific Grove, California. So without any further ado, guys, I'm going to welcome her to our show today. Good afternoon, Cherie. How are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And Cherie, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. We're happy to have you with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that. So, Cherie, tell us a little bit about Medusa's Emporium. So, of course, that first thought, when we think of that, we think of Medusa from all the stories. So tell us a little bit more about what you have going on there and what you do.
Medusa's Emporium was conceived really as my working studio. I am an artist, and I do watercolor and acrylic painting, and I've just recently gotten into digital art. So a lot of the newer stuff that you see on my website and on my Facebook page is in digital format. It's just a little bit quicker, easier, cleaner for me to work in that medium. Rather than pulling on all the paints. And I do love making a mess, but sometimes timing just doesn't allow it. The other part of Medusa's Emporium is I take in local, usually California artists, and I'm right next door to Carmel, California, and Pebble Beach. So it's very art-inspired here on the Central Coast. So we have a lot of new artists and people who are learning and just want to step out and see, you know, if their work will sell. So I take in that kind of work and produce shows, usually first-time shows for very new and emerging artists.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, that is a great thing to hear, that you're giving these new and upcoming artists a medium to expose their artwork out there to other people. So what are some ways that you go about finding these artists, or do they come to you, Cherie?
Both. I usually will put ads on Craigslist or on my Facebook page, and people will come in and ask about it. They really don't know how to get started. So I really love and encourage people to come in, have a conversation with me, show a little bit of their work, see if they're really ready and at the level that they do have enough work to produce the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not quantity. It's really more quality. And
yeah.
They're very excited to engage in that process of, you know, what can I do to make it better? How do I get go about, you know, the first steps of it? And I know it's very difficult to get art out into any kind of market, no matter where you are. So I do like to encourage beginners on producing their own shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that is a wonderful thing that you're helping them because you've been through it yourself and you kind of know the ropes already. So, Sherry, how did you get started in art to begin with? Was there something that really made you want to be an artist?
Well, I've been drawing and painting as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Those big boxes of crayons, they were my favorite present at Christmas and birthday. And I wanted to be a fashion designer from the time I was in fifth or sixth grade. So a lot of people go through, you know, what am I going to do? I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I had parents that really encouraged me to go to college. So I was fortunate mm-hmm. enough to be able to go to college, majored in fashion design, and ended up with a fine arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I moved to New York City. I really wanted to make it on the fashion scene, so
mm-hmm.
where to go? New York. Unfortunately,
yep.
I arrived in late 1980, and the whole fashion world was consumed with more of the gay and male population than the female population.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it was a very interesting time, but I've always been able to stay in the creative field, so I started out my career at Saks Fifth Avenue on Fifth Avenue as an assistant manager in one of the main floor departments. From there, I went into the photographic world. I was a customer service rep for Custom Photo Labs and had the experience of meeting Annie Leibovitz and Irving Penn and a number of other big photographers of that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've always been around the art world. It was about that time when I was working in the photographic arena that I decided to go and take some continuing ed courses, studied anatomy, figure drawing, and really got into watercolor painting. I had an amazing teacher who I studied with for several years, and most of my work now still has that influence of long, lean fashion look.
Mm-hmm.
I do female angels.
I'm taking a look at your website, and the stuff on here is beautiful, Sherry. So are you kind of inspired by different things, or is there something in particular that inspires you when you're doing this, these paintings, or does a lot of it, as I know you mentioned fashion, and I do definitely see some one that this one called Secret Agent that looks pretty cool, and it definitely looks like it can be related to fashion. So, is there anything else that maybe inspires you when you're doing these beautiful paintings?
Color is a big factor in my work. I
mm-hmm.
use a lot of primary colors and opposite color combinations
mm-hmm.
because I had worked in photography. I like that bold, bright contrast in most of my work shows that. I rarely do monochromatic. When I moved to the Central Coast, because this area is so atmospheric, I started doing some abstract work, which I had never done and really never embraced when I was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a turning point, and I do abstract art for people in various colors, number combinations. I take special orders on a lot of different things.
Oh, nice. And I know there's definitely a lot of people that would want to get their hands on some of these gorgeous, gorgeous paintings and things that you have, Sherry. So they can do that by going to your website if they want to find out more information, if they want to maybe get a hold of something, they can do that that way?
Absolutely. The website is the easiest way. I spend a lot of time on Facebook. So I encourage anybody.
<we all do.
laughs> Yeah, too much time actually. That's an easy way because it's so instant. You know, to get in contact with me, I do have a Medusa's Emporium page, and then I also have my own Cherie Greek page. And you'll see, you know, different things on different pages. I'm also on Instagram. I mean, I'm all over the web, so, you know, reach out. I love to meet a new friend.
Definitely, and we would love for that also. So, guys, I want to encourage you all to do that. Find out more about Cherie. She has some amazing artwork. I want you guys to really check it out. So, guys, I'm speaking with Ms. Cherie Greek. She is the owner of Medusa's Emporium over there in Pacific Grove, California. So, guys, as she said, you can find her pretty much all over the Internet. So you can check out her website. Just go to www.CherieGreek.com. Her name is spelled S-H-E-R-E-E-G-R-E-E-K. .com. So CherieGreek.com. So check that out. You can also find her on Facebook or Instagram. So Facebook, she does have Medusa's Emporium page. She also has a Cherie Greek page. So check her out there. Look her up online, guys. There's so many ways you can get in touch with her and find out more about her and get a hold of some of this amazing artwork that she does. I really, really encourage all of you to take a look at it. It really is beautiful. So, Cherie, thank you so much for being here with us today. It truly has been a pleasure having you on the show and speaking with you.
Well, the pleasure's been all mine. So, have a great day.
Oh, you too, you too. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So stick around for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. I am your host, Bridget Greason. And, guys, you know we like to bring you professionals and great people from all over just doing some wonderful things in their field. So my next guest is no different, and I'm happy to have him here with us today. His name is Howell Rust, and he is the owner at Northside Clocks, and that's in Manchester, Tennessee. So without any further ado, I want to welcome him to our show today. Good afternoon, Howell. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. And Howell, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'm happy to have you with us today.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, Howell, as I just mentioned, you're the owner over there at Northside Clocks. So tell us a little bit about this. I'm assuming it has something to do with clocks, obviously. So what do you offer there? What do you do?
Well, yes, we restore clocks and fix clocks for other people, and then also we have a showroom that has a little over about 400 clocks, all of new and antiques, so a wide variety of them.
I can tell, 400, that's a lot. So how is it all types of clocks that you fix and you repair?
Yes, we do mantle clocks and wall clocks, all the way down to alarm clocks, anniversary clocks, and it's just all types. And then we do grandfather clocks. I go to people's homes and I work on their grandfather clocks in the area.
Nice.
And awesome. We just try to keep everything going.
Yes, definitely. So, How did this all start for you? Was this something that you were always interested in? From what I understand, this was a family business, is that correct?
That's true. And in 1954, my grandfather was a salesman and for National Life. And someone gave him a clock as a payment. So he had to see if he could get it going, and he did, and he took it back to the man and said, here, I got your clock fixed, and the man paid him for also, for repairing the clock. And then my grandfather found the passion, and he did it from 1954 all the way up to 1985.
Mm-hmm.
My dad bought the business in 85, and he kept it going, and then I joined him in 95 and bought the business, and I've owned it since then.
Oh, wow, nice. So how was this something that you knew you would always go into, especially when you were younger, seeing how it was in the family for so long?
No, not really. It's just whenever my dad bought it, and then, you got your grandfather working, and then my dad was working beside him, and, and on a Sunday afternoon, it's like, okay, what are you two doing? And I was trying to earn money to go to college, and my grandfather said, he had a whole bunch of cuckoo clocks, and they were piled over in a corner. He would actually buy them at an auction so that nobody else could.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw them in a corner, and he said, well, if you'll fix those, I'll help you sell them, and you can have tuition money. And so that's how I paid my way through college.
Oh, okay, cool, nice. That sounds like a fair deal, I guess. That's great stuff there, Howell. So were there any, challenges from it being kind of a family business? Were there any expectations maybe that your dad or your grandfather had for this business that maybe you wanted to take in a different direction?
No, my grandfather told me I'd never be able to fix a clock. So
okay.
No, my dad and I, we took it in a different direction. My grandfather just did solely repairs. Now, he might have one or two clocks that he'd offer for sale, but my dad and I, we took it over and brought it in and really made it, sales and repairs.
Mm-hmm. So you guys really took it in and kind of expanded it, still kept that initial basis of what it was founded on, but just expanded it a little bit more to just add some more things and bring in some more attraction.
That's true. The tools I use are the ones that my grandfather used and my dad used, and I've used, and I still use them every day.
Oh, wow. Well, that is wonderful to hear that, it's been passed down. throughout the family, and you're still using those same tools. And it's just a wonderful thing to hear. I love hearing stories like this. So, Hal, since you're running this business, you're the owner over there at Northside Clocks. So you have a lot of listeners out there who want to run their own business but don't really know what it takes, because it definitely can be challenging. So, you know, what would be some advice or words of encouragement that you can offer these people who kind of want to be in the same shoes as you and run their own business one day?
It just takes perseverance. You have to, you know, you have to go with your instincts, and you have to make sure that, you know, what you're doing is your passion. I mean, if you give me my day off, this is what I'm going to be doing on my day off. Okay, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it takes to run a business. It takes 24/7, but then again, too, you have to enjoy it.
Yes,
and if you enjoy it, then it's not a burden.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is so true, and we all know that famous saying: when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, and that is definitely something that is true.
That's very true, and I love what I do, and each time that a clock comes in and I work on it and it goes home, it's a piece of me going home with that person and with that clock.
Oh, I love the fact that you said that, Hal, because it just puts it into perspective how much time, effort, and love you put into that, and it's a piece of you that's going home with the clock, and it's something that you really are passionate about, and you really take pride in your work, which is an amazing thing to hear. And I know a lot of our listeners are probably going to want to find out more about you. So do you just do work within that area of Manchester? Let's say if someone wanted something repaired, if they're not in the area, would they be able to mail it to you or anything like that, or would they have to actually come into the store?
No, we get them UPS'd in all the time.
Oh, okay.
And and as far as that, I mean, as far as sales are concerned, if they see something they like or they know of something they want, I can usually find it, and I've delivered clocks as far away as Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, awesome. Oh, well, great. So there you guys have it. And, you know, we have listeners from all over the world listening in. So definitely, guys, check out Howell. Find out more about him. I want to remind you, I'm speaking with Mr. Howell Russ. He is the owner over there at Northside Clocks, and that's in Manchester, Tennessee. But, guys, as he said, you know, he can help you out if you're in a different area, if you need something repaired, or if you see something you like. Definitely get in touch with him, and he can help you out. So you can do that by checking out his website. So just go to www.northsideclocks.com, and that's clocks with an S at the end, guys. So that's northsideclocks.com. So definitely check it out, all right, guys? Howell, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So stay tuned for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day.
steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now listening live to WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buchner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. I am your host, Bridget Grayson. And, guys, it's just so funny to me how things happen sometimes. So you guys know that earlier on today in our show, we had a gentleman here who worked in the automotive industry, but finding deals and helping people find cars. And one of the issues that he brought up that he deals with and helps people with is women in the automotive industry and how sometimes they don't get enough respect from people. Which I thought it was very interesting that he brought that up, because it is true, unfortunately, still. But, you know, that's why I'm very excited and happy to have my next guest here with us today, because she is a woman and she is doing her thing in the automotive industry, which is a great thing. So she's out there proving all these guys wrong and just showing that women can do anything that we want to do. And that's so true. So I'm very excited and happy to have her here with us today. And I know you guys are as well. So I want to introduce Ms. Terry Thepperson. She is the owner at J&D Auto Tech, and that's in Glendale, California. So without any further ado, guys, let's welcome her to the show. Good afternoon, Terry. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
Oh, great. Terry, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're happy to have you with us today.
You're welcome. Yes.
Oh, great. So, Terry, as I mentioned, you're the owner over there at J&D Auto Tech. So tell our listeners a little bit about that. What are some things that you guys offer there, and what do you do?
Oh, we inspection the car. We had a lot of phone calls from the customer. Sometimes they had a car problem. If it's not too much, I can help them diagnose on the phone, and they can help themselves, or they can talk in here.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing thing for you to say, that you can help them out over the phone if they're having a problem. So they would call you, and you can kind of walk them through an issue that they're having with their car?
Yes, yes,
oh,
a lot.
Nice.
Too.
Look at
yeah.
you. Wonderful. So, what else do you offer there, Terry? And what kind of cars do you kind of work with and specialize in? Do you guys work with all cars when offering these services?
Yes, we most of specialists on a Japanese car, and mm-hmm. my mechanic know a lot of German also and the American car. But basically, we do a lot of Japanese car.
Oh, awesome, awesome. So I know you mentioned inspections, helping them, assisting them if they can't come in, if they have a problem, assisting them over the phone. I'm assuming you guys do repairs as well, is that right?
Yes, I do.
Nice, nice, awesome. Well, great stuff that you have going on, Terry. So, you know, obviously for a lot of people out there, especially guys, they would say that this is not really your typical field for a female to be in. So what kind of sparked your interest behind getting into the automotive industry?
Okay, in the background of the business, my parents owned a bus company in Bangkok, Thailand, mm-hmm. since I was young. And when I moved to this country, and then I go to school, and then I open the business. The first business I had is the restaurant. And after that one, and I had restaurant for 4 years, and my dad convinced me and to do the auto repair business. And then I go mm-hmm. back to school a little bit, and my ex-husband at that time, he's a mechanic, and my son, he's a mechanic. That
oh.
put me into all of these business.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay, so pretty much you had the restaurant business first, and, you know, your dad kind of suggested to you to get into this type of work, so you went and furthered your knowledge and your education, which is always a great thing. We love to hear that. And then you also had your husband, well, your ex-husband now, and your son also, that they are involved in this type of work also. So I'm sure it was kind of like a family thing also at one point.
Yes. And I had another sister that owned the auto repair business also because
oh, wow.
we grew up in the car business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The whole family come up with the business of the auto repair.
Oh, I see that. Definitely. Well, that is truly some great stuff, Terry. And, you know, I want to ask you a little bit about this because I know that, you know, I mentioned earlier there are a lot of people, especially guys out there that are sometimes skeptical about females being in the automotive industry and thinking that, you know, they're not as knowledgeable as, you know, maybe a male. So were there any challenges like that you faced from being a female in this line of work?
I tell you what, I had no problem with that. I had a lot of male guy came in here, don't even know what, like, women know, had a car problem. When I telling them, they look at me like, oh, my God, how did you know about this? Because, you know, man or woman, they all drive the car, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's what it is. But when we tell them, they know you have to be honest. In this business, you have to be honest. Mm-hmm. Something needs to be done now or something that you can wait later on. Sometimes people didn't know that when they go to spend money, they want to fix whatever the car needs. They can have money for food or something. They don't need to do everything on one time. They can wait. Mm-hmm. I be honest. That's why I'm in business for 30 years with no problem.
Wow, such a long time. And you know what? That is a wonderful thing to hear. And that is something that truly makes you stand out, Terry, because, you know, we've all had experiences where we go to car places and, you know, it's hard to find people that are honest and genuine, such as yourself. They tell you you need to spend all this money and get all these things done. You bring it in there for one thing, and then all of a sudden there's a million other things wrong with the car now.
I know.
And it's crazy, you know, so it's so refreshing to hear you say that, you know, you're honest and you're real with people. So you let them know that, okay, you know, this is the main issue. If they need to get it done, how soon they need to get it done, or if they can wait so they don't need to spend the money right then and there, or if it's not that big of an issue. And that is something that I think is really, really great about you. And as I said, just a refreshing thing to hear because it's not every day that you find people that are honest, especially in the automotive
yes.
industry.
In the car business, a lot of people didn't know that. Sometimes they're thinking about this has to be doing now, but sometimes that can be wait. And mm-hmm. when we wait for 3 months, it's 3 months. Why we spend money now? Why don't we wait for 3 months? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's
yeah.
why some people just didn't know, but I be honest. Single part that I replace for the customer, I show them, they see. I describe to them what causing this. And we had a warranty. If anything wrong with that, I pay part, I pay labor. We never had any problem. We try to help every single customer. Some customer come up with, you know, the school open. They don't have budget. They have to take care for the kid first. I helping them even plan payment also.
Oh, wow. That is wonderful. I love it, Terry. And I can see why you've been in business for so long and why you haven't really had any problems. And people really respect you because you show that you're knowledgeable. You know your stuff. You have the credentials and the background for it. And you're an honest and good person. And people really can tell that about someone and can notice when someone really is genuine. So great stuff that you have going on there. What do you see as the next step for yourself in the near future?
You know, in the near future... See, right now I'm 63 years old.
Okay.
I'm gonna have my son helping me take care of this business. After I'm done with all of this, maybe I get retired by in a couple years from now, and I want to be around the world.
Oh, nice! Travel around the world. That sounds like a great plan, Terry.
Yes.
I'm sure that your son will definitely keep it going after when that time does come, when you're ready to pass it on to him. I'm sure he will be able to live up to the standard, hopefully, because you set a high one, clearly. So,
yes.
Definitely.
We're going to be like a family business, and everybody know my son already.
Aww.
And then this business, it's not just a one-day in business. On and on. The day one, since we opened the business, we still had the customer, that one, and send their children here to fix the car with me. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God. Wonderful.
And that's why I'm so grateful with all my work, with my customer relationship and all that stuff.
Yes, definitely. That is very important, having those strong relationships. And, you know, that just speaks for itself. When you have customers that have been with you for so long and then their family comes there, you can tell that they really do trust you because you do great work, which is an important thing. And building those relationships are not only important, but they're also meaningful on both parties as well. So, Terry, thank you so much. It truly has been a pleasure having you here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Before I let you go, I just want to remind our listeners, guys, I'm speaking with the awesome, the talented, and the honest Terry Stepperzit. She is the owner at J&D Auto Tech, and that's in Glendale, California. So I encourage you all to reach out to her, check her out, find out more information. So you guys can do that by emailing her. So her email address is terrythep@yahoo.com. That's spelled TERRYTHEP@yahoo.com. So check it out, guys, okay? So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with our last guest. So stick around for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children.
Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buchner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.